I'll be reading from 2 Timothy, verses 1, 8 through 9, from the King James Bible. I should have known this computer would have... I'm sorry. Hold on just a second. From 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
What word would you use to describe a direction in your life? A way that you see people and this world? Discipleship is a word that we often use, but that over time as Christians the world over, we've kind of softened its meaning. It goes a lot deeper than just saying that we are a Christian or that we love Christ. It is a word, or it is a thing that is not for the timid. If we are to have a clear understanding of what it truly means, the best individual, the best person to give us its true meanings is our Savior. For he said in Mark 8, he explained it to it there very clearly in verses 34 through 38. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus said, take up our cross and follow him. It is part of the bigger question of what our soul is worth to us. Jesus, he called them not to be ashamed of him and his words. Because if we are, he will be ashamed of us come judgment day. That word, ashamed, is kind of negative. Feeling of guilt, or maybe shame because of our actions. It is being reluctant to do something because of a fear of being embarrassed or humiliated. Being ashamed has its roots in fear. What are the things that we fear of today? Is it the threats of the world? threats maybe from family or friends, the threat of losing our jobs more than we fear standing before God without the grace of Christ covering us? It's really easy to go along with something. It's easier to please people. Say the things that they want to hear, both worldly things and spiritual things. So we don't ruffle the feathers. We keep things on an even keel. It's easier to turn a blind eye to sinful behavior. It's easier to stay away from people that other people laugh at or make fun of because of who they are and what they stand for. The one example I can think of for someone like that was Tim Tebow, a man who was very strong in his faith. Everybody knew it. But when he turned pro in football, they made fun of his faith, but he never wavered. That was his love. That was his passion. But he walked away because his love for God was greater, and he was not ashamed of who he loved. You know, in the scripture reading that Vernon gave us, Paul doesn't simply diagnose a spiritual problem or a potential problem for Timothy. What he does is lay before Timothy why not to be ashamed. And that is a reason we're going to hear today. And hopefully we will strive to allow it to work in our own lives. Look again at the scripture reading. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Now, let's just stop there for just a moment and look at just a few words. God saved us and called us to a holy calling or life. We don't need to be ashamed of something that we needed and are thankful to have received. We were sinners and we were in need of a Savior. We had a sin problem that can't be fixed by ourselves. We can apologize. We can repent. But unless we had the sins erased, we still have the sins. We can't work our way out of it. We can't serve others to the point that their sins have been erased. The first part of the testimony of Christ is that he came to save us from ourselves. God, in the perfect time, sent his Son because the world was hurting because of its sins. And Jesus came and he took those sins, the past, the present, and the future sins, and obliterated it on the cross. That's not saying that there's nothing that we can do, that it's already been done. As some people think, well, he died for sins once and for all. There were still requirements that had to be made, and we all understand that. The second part of the testimony of Christ is that he called us to live that holy life. He didn't pick us up out of the mire of sin only to let us wallow back into it. He called us. First, he invited us to start a new way of living. Called us to live a holy life. Sometime at your leisure, go back and look at Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit, and ask yourself as you look at each one of those, have you grown? If our lives are not changing to look more like the teaching of Christ, then we missed the calling. Paul wrote something that I really like a lot. We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, five verses. First ones is verses 12 and 13. And then we'll look at verses 16 through 18. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze on the outcome of what was being brought to an end. And then those next three verses, 16 through 18. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, this morning when we were looking at Genesis and we were looking at Jacob and Laban and how Laban had deceived Jacob with Leah, that she was covered, that Jacob had no idea who she was. He thought it was Rachel. How many, as Christians, are we keeping our faces veiled? Hiding something. With our faces unveiled, we can behold or should behold the glory of the Lord in our face. We want to live that unveiled life. That unveiled life is one that is being transformed into the image of Christ. We're not ashamed because Christ saved us and he called us into a holy way of living. Now, Paul gives us the gospel in a nutshell in 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 9. He saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Not because of works. Jesus didn't save us because of what we could do. He saved us because of who we are. Can you imagine how God felt the moment that Eve took that fruit from the tree? I lost my child. And then when Adam took of it too, I lost my children. And from that point, God put in motion a plan to bring us back to Him. He loves us so much. He loves His creation so much. This was done by grace. Do we respond to that grace? I hope we'd say collectively, yes. Jesus abolished death, and He brought life. And that message is brought to light for the world when we share that message. We are loved. We are desired. And we are called because God wants us to be with Him forever. Our value is not based on our abilities. Our value is not based on what we can do for God. Grace has been freely given to all of us, regardless. We really need to carry some sadness in our heart for people who believe that they do not need Christ. They don't really understand and know what they are missing. They won't know how to live a life that is connected to God through Christ. They get caught up so much in rules that they forget about the reward. Jesus abolished death. We don't look at it like that. We sit around and we think, well, I'm going to die. When we say He abolished death, it is that eternal death that He abolished. We don't have to face it. And I think all of us here would most certainly take life over death any day of the week. Especially eternal life. Paul finished these words, "For which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher." Paul was a preacher. Preacher is one who heralds the gospel. He was also an apostle, which is one who is sent on a mission with the authority of the sender. And he was also a teacher, one who imparts knowledge about how to live the things that he preached. Paul knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that that was the reason he suffered in his life. And I don't know if there's a man alive who suffered as much as Paul suffered. You think about what he had going for him in the beginning. He had prestige. He had power. His life probably could have been very simple and easy. But then on a dusty road, it's like Jesus grabbed him by the collar. Looking here. Got something for you. And when Paul was in front of his fellow Jews in Acts chapter 22, trying to explain to them what happened to him. Now, these folks were mad at him. They were really angry. They wanted him torn to pieces. They want him put to death. But he remembers and reiterates to them what Ananias told him in Acts 22 and verse 16. Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul wasn't ashamed. Verse 12, we come to the words in 2 Timothy 1 that have become a song, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Now, there is some debate on this verse. Is it that Paul entrusts to Jesus, or what Jesus has entrusted to Paul? Even if we were to break that language apart, we still would not have an answer. But either way, Paul's not ashamed of any of it. He's not ashamed to be this preaching apostolic teacher that's in prison, because he knows Jesus is the greatest keeper of the greatest deposit. We're here today because we are part of the people who are not ashamed to be called a Christian. We're here because we have taken hold of that in which Christ took hold of us. We're convinced that Jesus can keep us secure in Him. Not outside of Him, but in Him. And you know, it is a great day when we can try to return to some normalcy in our lives in a world that has been grabbed hold of in chaos. Thank you for being a part of this fellowship of the unashamed. And if we can encourage your faith, if we can help you in your Christian walk, or if we can help you take the first step in becoming one of the unashamed, I pray that you'll make those decisions this morning. And if anyone has a need, come as together we stand and we sing.